kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Encourage you and exhort you tonight in the Word, and we're going to call our teaching, He Gives Us Life to Overcome Daily. He gives us life to overcome daily. And I'm basing this today from John 16 and verse 33. John 16 and verse 33, which says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, we note here that he says, "I have overcome the world." And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, He Gives Us Life to Overcome Daily. You see, we still don't quite understand and experience that we are given His resurrection life. In other words, He has given us the power to be born again, to walk by faith. He's taken that initiative. It doesn't lie in us. We can't even do that. We can't even save ourselves. We're that far gone. But we're still seeing it is as with our efforts that we try to strive and overcome. And the reason we try and strive to overcome, because there's still too often this fear and this anxiety which often will open the doors. And this is why he has said in this, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Not you, not me. He says, "I have overcome the world." And therefore, our faith is in what he has done. If your faith is simply on the basis, "I have to overcome, I've got to overcome all things," you are simply confessing and believing that out of your own strife, your fears, your anxieties, your own human efforts. And this is why so many fall, because they're not drawing from the Word of God the power to be able to believe and stand and to have faith to see such promises that he says here, "For I have overcome the world," and thank God that he has. That is the good news of the gospel, that he overcame the world, he overcame the curse of the world, which was death, and has triumphed and overcome and is now risen. So we clearly see, don't we, that he gives us life to overcome daily. And he can do this on the basis because he says, "I have overcome the world." That is Christ's experience. That is what he has achieved. The facts are there. He's raised. He's in glory. He sits now at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, he ministers that confidence. He ministers the power of this through the Holy Spirit so that we can read such verses like this where he says, "I have overcome the world." And thank God he has, which means that I too can and will overcome this world and all that it throws at me. And therefore, if we trust in that, then whatever we go through, we have that confidence that we are going to come out the other side through these trials. And we have to be in faith with this. And we've really got to trust the Lord in this, with what we're facing, what is coming on the earth until the Lord comes for us. Let's look at some other scriptures in John, the Gospel of John. He speaks much about this. John 14 and verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So again, not only has he overcome, but he's also gone. We're shown in which to prepare a place for us. And he says he will come for us. So I have been called in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he has promised and said, I will come back for you. Why is it we have at times such problems in believing that? That we believe more our trials or what the devil is saying? Let's look at verses 23 to 27 of the same chapter. He says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So it's on the basis of loving him and keeping his word. Now, God doesn't force us to do that, but if you love him and you love his word, then he promises to come and make his home with us. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all these things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There we are, words of great comfort, particularly in these times that we're living in now, with the rapid falling away. How poignant these words are, how important they are to us. And we need to draw the strength and comfort to help our faith with what he has said and his provision. Now the question I raise is it our experience? Let's see what he says also in chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So there's great stress in these few chapters that I'm reading here of being helped, being encouraged, being empowered, holding on so that we can stand in these trials and we can overcome in this life. This is why we're overcomers. And the overcomers are the first fruits unto the Lord. The overcomers are the ones who will be raptured, who will be caught away, which I believe is the next great event for the Christian church. So the question is it our experience? Do I live by the power, that life that he has given me? That is the question. Or am I still in control? And I, with my fears, my anxieties, my unbelief, my being or wanting to be in control? You see, that is the question. And we know in time by what sort of fruit that we're producing. Did you know that unbelief produces fruit? Did you know faith produces fruit? Peace produces fruit. Anger, anxiety produces fruit, but there is a good fruit and a bad fruit. And that is the question. And that is why the tribulations test all of this. In other words, it means I'm being delivered in adversity, not from it. So my deliverance is in the trial that I'm going through. Not just at the end of the trial, but right in the midst of the trial, I am being delivered. Whatever you have gone through today, or whatever your experience has been over the last few weeks, God has permitted and allowed us to be tested in order for us to learn that we are being delivered in the trial and not from it. That is not the deliverance. The experience of God's power and all that he has achieved, the experience of knowing that Jesus said, I have overcome the world, is in the trial. That is my experience. And that's what we should draw from our trials. And that's what he's trying to show us in these trials. We know very well, don't we? Let's just remind ourselves back in Psalm 91. What he says here with regard to what I've just said there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. None of that changes whether I go through a trial or not. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Did you know that through trials you are in a place of refuge and a fortress? Even though you go through a trial, even though it may be hurting or a physical trial, that doesn't change. He still says, I have a fortress around me, a refuge. In God I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, or whatever you're going through, whatever the trials. So he says, he will deliver us. He shall cover you with his feathers. So those feathers are still there covering you, even though you're going through a trial. And under his wings, you shall take refuge, just like a hen who protects her chicks under the wings. None of that changes. If you're going through a trial, it's still there. It doesn't change. Psalm 91 doesn't change because I'm going through a trial. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. So he will always give us the truth of his word. And there are times we don't always like his truth. But we know that the truth sets us free. And you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. So there God is dealing with those fiery darts that try to hinder our faith, nor of the armour that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Well, there's quite a package there, that in verse 6, what he speaks about that possibly we can experience and go through in a trial. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you, Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. I believe that also speaks very much of spiritual warfare. As the overcomers are being trained against the powers, principalities, dominions, we shall see the reward of this as we stay with it and remain faithful to it. God will judge the wicked because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Praise God. No COVID, no plague. He's promised it right there. He will preserve and protect us. And we're going to see many other things coming. If we think this is bad enough, a lot, lot more is on the horizon. Man's efforts, his feeble efforts, cannot stand against this and the protection that God has given to us. As we've said so many, many times, this is the greatest assurance policy that God has ever given. Any insurers would be broke within a matter of days if they put all of this in their insurance policies. That's why it is an assurance to us. Read it. Take it in. So adversities will come and we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised what's happening, what's coming on the earth, the great falling away. We shouldn't be surprised, we shouldn't be shocked by it. I'm not really shocked by hearing anything now. Nothing seems to surprise me anymore to what's happening. But we are secure, we are protected by the blood of the Lamb. There is nothing to fear, brothers and sisters. He has overcome and not you. And that is what we hold on to. He has overcome. It's not you that overcame. He did. For the very purpose that you too will overcome the things of this world and the spirit of this age, else he would not have promised in his word. And certainly the Christian church will not be able to stand. But we're told that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the body of Christ. You see, the strength of the trial is where the Holy Spirit gives us the strength, the faith and mercy to stand. You will begin to know that whatever trial and tribulation you're going through, God has it under complete control. He wouldn't allow it otherwise. So if this trial has come my way, then in God's infinite wisdom, even though I don't understand it, yet he is permitting and allowing it for a reason. And we need to hold that one in mind when we go through these trials and testings. What does he say to one of the churches in Revelation? Revelation chapter 2. And let's take it, Revelation 2, verse 2. I know your works, your labour, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have laboured for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Then he goes on, nevertheless, there is something. But God looks at that. He sees our labour. He sees that we are enduring. There's just a few of us. but we're not compromising. We discern, we want to stay with the Word of God, the purity of God's Word. We discern those that call themselves apostles and ministers, but they're not really. We've discerned and tested certain doctrines and teachings, but found them to be in error. He says, I know all of that. I know your work. I know your labor. I know the patience. I know what you're going through, the trials, the testings, and so on. So what does it mean there? He knows. He knows better than you do. He knows when you go through a trial and a test much more than you do. We think we know, but we know nothing as to how he sees it. So you see, remember, he gives his life. It's our spiritual food. He gives us the strength to stand in that trial and in that test. And that is why I've always emphasized that he gives us the strength for today. Whatever you have encountered, whatever your experience, whatever your trial or testing has been, he has given you that strength to stand today. You say to me, well, I'm not sure about that or whatever. Well, you're here, aren't you? You're here in fellowship today. You're in the room. You're listening to the teaching. So isn't that a clear sign that he's giving me that strength for today? It's not rocket science, this, you know. It's actually so easy that we miss it through our pride. That's the problem. He gives his life. He gives his strength for today. He gives the victory for today. Victory is always for God, for his glory. And he's working that in you and I. So our overcoming, our enduring, is always for his glory. And glory alone. And we know, don't we, that God is jealous over his glory. He's jealous over glorifying his name. So God is jealous glorifying his name in the trials and the tests that you go through. And this is why sometimes we find ourselves going round a circuit, don't we? We miss it the first time, only to find we're coming round again. And here it comes again, or it's a similar type of trial. And maybe we miss it there, and it comes around again. And this is how it works. Why does it work like that? Because it's about God's glory. It's about the work which he hath begun in you. He will complete and finish. And thank God that he does, because we won't. We'll always cop out or look for an easy way, but not with God, not if you want to be an overcomer. And of course, he was trying to do this with the children of Israel for 40 years, but they wouldn't have it. No, we live today by his strength and power, by his grace and mercy that's working in and through us. And that's why we can rest. When you go through a trial and a testing, don't fight. Just let go in it. Because that enables God then to take over. Don't listen to the reports. Don't listen to the fears, the unbelief that the enemy, because he always becomes very vocal, doesn't he, in a trial. Don't listen to it. Simply rest in the strength and the victory that Christ has wrought for you and I. Hallelujah. As we close with this, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. and verses 1 to 4. You see, I want to show you that what God is doing with us, he was also doing the same in the Old Testament with the saints as well there. It's nothing different. They walked by faith, they overcame all those trials and those hurdles, and we can as well, because they've left a testimony, they've left an example. So here we read it in 1 Corinthians 10 verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So the rock, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, was the presence of the pre-incarnate Christ. He was there with them, leading and guiding them. He was speaking through Moses, the leader. He was there. We tend to forget that. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. In other words, God was trying to get Egypt out of their hearts, but they didn't want it. The same that God is getting the world out of our hearts. Verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So he says he makes that way of escape in order that you will stand, you will bear it, you will stay with it, you won't run away. That's what he means. Now how he does that, that is supernatural. And that is how he's going to do it with us. With the pressures that are coming on the world, where our freedom is slowly being taken away. We're seeing all of that happening now. And he says, we'll stand. He'll make that way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All of this is supernatural. These words are not normal words. This is why we have to have the Holy Spirit, the unction, the anointing. It doesn't make any sense otherwise, but this is supernatural what he's talking about here. How he brings us through. This is why sometimes you can't really put your mind to it. You can't always try and analyze how he brought me through, because it's supernatural. It's not meant for the natural mind, for the intellect. It is meant for those who have their minds renewed by the Holy Spirit. It is supernatural to the supernatural that is in you. And this is our problem. We still try and intellectually analyze. This is why I spoke, didn't I, on our last teaching, that we are being taught now in these last days by direct revelation. This is how he's speaking, because it's supernatural. Our life is supernatural. Our walk is supernatural. We don't walk like the world. We don't act and live like it. We are separate from it, or should be. That is what makes an overcomer, and that is how we will overcome, brothers and sisters. So he gives us life to overcome daily. And he does this because he says, I have overcome the world. It is not for you to work that out. It is not for you to strive at this or wonder how it's going to be done or whatever. He has imparted to us through the Holy Spirit his strength, his life as that overcomer in which now to live it. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, there we are. God is faithful, is he not? He wants to encourage us and help us because he knows what we're facing. And he knows how to draw out that fear and that unbelief and that what if. And we're more and more going to find that we're not going to listen any longer to the roaring of the enemy like a lion. He may make a lot of noise, do a lot of roaring, and he is. He most certainly is at the moment. But we'll find that you just don't listen to it. It's irrelevant. You're listening to something far greater, and that is the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.